Blog Talk Radio.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Very excited.
Me too. I am very excited. We got a lot of response, especially up on this subject, no excuses.
Yes, and I'm so excited to hear everyone's feedback and, you know, just ready to hear some testimonies and what they're thankful for, as well as some gospel music this evening. So
yes.
For those of you who don't know, would you like to tell them about you?
Yes. I'm a pastor of a church in Round Rock, Texas. We have put in our resignation as far as the building concerns. So we go to different apartment complexes and we deal more with the street ministry now. And now we are establishing and giving people a foundation of who Christ really is and taking them outside of the four walls, because we know the church is in us. And so many people have excuses of why they don't go to churches. But I never understood, you have every excuse not to go to church, but the same people that get on your nerves are the same people sometimes you work with, but you don't have an excuse not to go to work and make that money.
That's right.
So you know how we get into excuses. So we have been breaking down soul ties as far as excuses, who God and what God is really about.
Right. Okay. Now the topic, no excuses. How did that come about, and how do you want to work that tonight? Is it no excuse as far as going to church? No excuses in your life. You know, we're looking.
You know,
for...
I've been reading Joyce Meyer's book, 8 Ways to Keep the Devil Under Your Feet, and one of her first topics was no excuses. And she started talking about Caleb in the Bible, talking about how, you know, he was down to fight. He was down to do what he needed to do. He was telling everybody, come on, y'all, we can do this. And then everybody else, because the army was bigger, the other people was like, no, we can't do it. I'm talking about no excuses across the board.
Okay.
You know, I've been battered and abused, but sometimes, you know, we have excuses of why we have our trust issues. We have excuses why we don't want to do that. I'm talking about excuses across the board, because whatever excuse you have is only going to hinder you. I'm talking about naturally, spiritually, whatever part you put in the excuse in your life is not hindering nobody but you. So I'm talking about excuses across the board.
So that should be good. That should be really good. We actually have our first caller. So hold on 1 second. I'm going to bring our caller in. Welcome to GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
This is T.
Hey, Miss T. How are you?
I'm blessed.
Excellent, excellent.
Well, hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, I can't complain. I've had my good days. I've had my bad days. But the good days outweigh the bad.
Perfect.
And I just, you know, want to say yesterday was pretty rough for me. Would have been my mother's 91st birthday. Tuesday is my sister's 61st birthday. Would have been, and I say still is, you know, because she's still with me even though she's looking down on me. You know, unfortunately,
yes.
both of them are, you know, gone. And, you know, I just need everybody to keep me in prayer, but I just want to thank God that I was able to wake up this morning, you know, roof over my head, food to eat, you know, water, gas, electric, just, I'm just thankful to be here, you know.
Amen.
And as far as the topic, you're right, there's no excuse for nothing.
Right.
You know, God don't give no excuses, so we shouldn't have any.
That's right.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, alcohol, not going off the topic, but I would like to ask you if there's any words of encouragement that you can give to Sister T, because, you know, she's going through a rough time, you know, and it seems like it's something that, you know, it's constant, you know, like knocking at her door constantly.
Yeah.
You know, is there any type of, as you heard her mom and her sister, you know, both, you know, passed away and their birthdays are coming up. Is there anything that you can, any words you can give her, of just words of comfort, words of encouragement?
Yes, ma'am. Woman of God, I totally totally feel you when it comes to certain days like that. And my encouragement is to not try to forget about it, not try to push it out of your mind, embrace it and celebrate it. If you got to cry and celebrate it, cry and celebrate it. If you're going to rejoice and celebrate it, rejoice and celebrate it. It's when we want to reject our natural feelings, that don't say who God is not in your life. That doesn't say that at all. You know, these are people we love. These are strong people close to us. It's okay to reflect and cry and laugh. I'm pretty sure when you think about them, sometimes you cry, sometimes you laugh.
Yeah.
You know, and it's okay to do that. That is really okay, to address our feelings.
I was young when my mother passed. I was only 12 years old, so a vague memory. But my sister, that was my soulmate, you know. And it was like we were together 24/7. I took care of the last 6 months of her life, you know, and it just hurts.
Woman of God, let me tell you something. Embrace it. Don't try to. One thing with grief, when we're going through our grief periods, and I'm gonna share my testimony. It took me 10 years to get over my father's death. And it's because I didn't want to address it, you know, because people in church be like, oh, believe and trust in God and all, and they tell you all this good stuff, but that has nothing to do with really what God wants us to do. We have to deal with the natural parts of life, because if we was all spiritual, there was no reason for Christ to really die if we can just repent that one time and then we just all these spiritual beings. Paul wouldn't have said we die daily if we wasn't going to deal with some fleshly issues. So I'm telling you, baby, it's okay to cry. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to go through your ups and downs. That's the only way you're going to go through your grieving process. When they told me that they thought I might have cancer, you go through denial, you go through your grief. When you do not go through these processes, you won't be healed. Go through your process. Even when nobody else understands, because really it ain't none of their business. Care for cry for 3 days. Get your word, meditate on your word, cry, moan, talk to God, pray to God, but go through your process.
Okay.
And it's okay to go through your process. If somebody tell you it is not okay to go through their process,
and I hear that all the time. I hear it all the time. Like, you know, they wouldn't want you crying, but this is the only way that I can get through it. You know, I'm home alone, and, it's just, people don't understand if they haven't been through it.
But you know what? It's not really for them to understand. This is your grief. This is your grief period that you're going through, you know. You're the only person that has to deal with your grief, because these people are on the outside looking in. So someone can tell you, okay, well, it's been, their one-year anniversary then since they've been gone. You know, don't cry. They can say whatever they want to, but only you know how your heart feels. You know, and because you were so young, you grew up, you know, without your mom. So that's going to be a touchy, you know, situation, a touchy topic for you. Mother's Day, holidays, birthdays, all of that is going to be something very touchy to you. So you just have to, my only opinion I would say is, grieve with it the best way you know how, and there's no time limit to your grief. Each year, you know, each year will get better. Each year won't be so hard, you know, because I lost my dad, and each year got better and better for me, you know. Each year I was able to cope with it where I didn't cry for that many, you know, more days. You know, it got better and better because I had to realize that he was going and he went to another place. So it's not... And it was nothing that I did or nothing that I could have said. It was just something, it was a natural, you know, thing that had to happen. So just keep on grieving the best way you know how. And don't try to make people understand. Just say, you know what, I'm going through a rough time right now. You know, and if they love you, they'll stand by you. If they don't, then see them later, you know. You know, those are the ones you want to keep with you at all times. But we do have, you know, a nice show coming up this season for you, so make sure that you just listen in.
I appreciate y'all listening to me and words of encouragement.
No, baby, you keep doing what you need to do. And I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people, they have different ways of thinking about this, but you said you were 12. I never knew my real father, and it brought me some bad issues throughout the duration of my life. But I had to go get, I got spiritual help, but I also got, I went to a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
And I got some natural help, and there's nothing wrong with that.
And I had
and
to take my daughter through that. She was only 10 years old when my sister passed. It was her godmother, but it was like her mother, you know. And so at that time, I didn't have time for me to, you know, like grieve because I had to watch over her. You know, this was my child.
You got to take time out for you. You have to take time out for you. Because if you don't exist no more, if you fall into a depression, if you can't do this and you can't do that, they're going to survive with you or without you anyway.
That's true.
You have to make time out for you, woman of God.
Thank you.
You have to. Well, thank you.
You are
so
welcome. God bless you.
Thank you.
You're welcome, baby.
All right, Pastor Hall, we do have a lot of callers, so I'm just going to give the number because we have a lot of people listening. The phone number is 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air to speak to Pastor Hall or myself. You can call in and give your testimony, say what you're thankful for, as well as talk about the topic of no excuses. We at GT Palace are going to be playing some gospel music, and we're going to go to our first song right now, okay?
Amen.
Thank you. Allowing me to see myself the way you see me. Thank you. people like me. Those that struggle with insecurities, acceptance, and even self-esteem. You never felt good enough. You never felt pretty enough. But imagine God whispering in your ear, letting you know that everything that has happened is now. Every sin, every mistake, every failure, it's all gone. Depression, gone. My faith, gone. No self-esteem, hallelujah, it's gone. It's all gone. All gone. All my scars, all my pain. It's in the past, it's yesterday. It's all gone. Did, what your father did. Hallelujah.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Okay, great, great, great. I wanted to say hello to Sister Hall, my cousin.
Well, hello, Reverend Willie Parker.
Well, how you doing?
I am doing good.
Well, great, great. To God be the glory in what you all are doing. I wanted you to know you have my prayers and my support. Yeah, but I continue to keep you lifted in prayer, your ministry that you're doing, and that God will continue to bless you. You have no excuses, because he that began a good work in you shall complete it in the end. And he said he's given us everything we need according to godliness to live and do all that he has called us to do. So you keep on doing what God has called you to do. You keep the faith, you stay strong. We talked this morning concerning God's promises to us, and we spoke from Hebrews this morning in the 12th chapter in verses 1 and 2. And we have to also always remember and understand that God gives us faith. He gives us strength. He wants us to live in that faith and in that confidence and understanding, assurance, and knowing that you can use your experiences from old. You can use your circumstances and situations from things of the past and understand and realize and know that because God got you through those circumstances, because God brought you through that, that gives and increase your faith to know that, God, you're going to get me through this too.
That's right.
Just like you for Abraham. Just like you did for Abraham. Just like you did for the children of Israel. All the promise you made, dear God, I see in your word where you kept your promises and you was there. So that has strengthened and increased my faith. So I encourage you to be strengthened by what God has already done and continuously to move forward and continuously to do what God has called you to do.
Amen.
You know, cuz I just thank you so much, you know, about everything that you share, how you support me. But give us some of your testimony. Because I know you got some no excuses going on.
Yeah, well, you know.
Come on, we've been through too much in our life. We had to step aside some excuses and step over and keep it moving. So what would you tell the listeners out there that's making some excuses?
The excuses that you making, I had to learn the hard way. And I have to learn and understand that until I submit, until I surrender, until I acknowledge, until I recognize and realize that God is author and head of my life, And until I surrender to his will and his purpose, my life's going to be in chaos. So you first got to acknowledge God for who he is and understand that he is in complete control of your life. And until you do that, your life will be in chaos. But once you surrender, say, okay, Lord, it's not about me. It's your will and not my will. Then you begin to understand and realize that God will do everything that he promised that he would do. Yes, I run from my calling. Yes, I hid. Yes, even after I answered my calling, I didn't want to live the life that God had called me to live. But until I continuously to bump my head, I continuously to keep on going. But you know what? All that was a part of God prepping me and preparing me for a ministry, and to get me to the point where he wanted me to be. And once I understood and realized that God can take my mess, my mistakes, and my faults and my failures and turn it into a production, turn it into a prosperity, then I realized that God was in complete control. So we have to learn how to acknowledge God for who he is, submit to God, surrender to God, and be obedient to God's will and God's word and his way. And until you do that, yes, you're going to be running and hiding, and you're going to be bumping your head. And that's
what
my testimony.
Can I straddle the fence? Yeah, can I straddle the fence? Can I be hot and can
no,
I be cold?
No, Lord. The word of God said you will be spit out. No, ma'am, you cannot straddle the fence. You gotta do one or the other. You gotta do one or the other. And I tell you, we as Christians, we as believers, we say all the time that I want to love God. I serve God. I go to church every Sunday. But once we step out to church, we worshiping and we walking in a way that's nowhere close to pleasing unto God. We got to learn how to walk the walk as well as we talk the talk. Anybody can talk the talk, but it's what you do once you get outside that church. Once you get outside them four walls, once you get from around other believers, and once you're in the world where the sin is seeing you, you either got to separate yourself from the world and don't be like of the world. God told us not to be of the world, but be in this world. And we have to learn how to separate ourselves. So many times that we go to God and ask God to bless us with this and bless us with that, and then when God don't give us those blessings, we wonder why have God forsaken. Well, Lord, I go to church. Lord, I teach in the study school. Lord, I sing in the choir. I'm a deacon at this church. Dear God, how come you ain't answering my prayer? Well, you're only doing that inside them four walls, but when you come outside them four walls, you ain't nobody's deacon. You ain't singing no songs of praise. You ain't doing nothing that's representing me that makes you ambassador for me. I want you to be a light on the hill. Don't cover your light up with a lampstand. Don't cover it up with the shade. I want you to shine where the world can see something about that person, something about that man, the way he lived, the way he walked, the way he talked, to draw me to want to be closer to him and to get closer to God. That's what God wants us to be, and that's what it's all about. Then when you seek him first, all his righteousness and everything will be added unto him. The things you thought you wanted, the things you thought you desired, when you learn to seek God first, you find out those things was not what God wanted you to have, so you no longer want them. All you want is what God wants for you. If God wants me to ride in a Hoopty, then I'm going to ride in a Hoopty. If God wants me to ride in a Cadillac, then I know I'm going to ride in a Cadillac. But whatever God wants for me that's going to bring him honor, going to bring him glory, then so be it. And that's the attitude we have to learn and confidence that we have to have. Don't make it. Now that's enough of my. Yeah, to God be the glory. Don't you get me there. Don't you take me there.
Come on. Hey, I got another one for you.
Uh-huh.
What did them cowboys have excuses today?
Did some Texans do what they were supposed to do today? Did they take care of business? No, them cowboys, they have no excuses. They got to learn how to surrender, submit, and get it together. They got to learn how to submit to leadership. They got to learn how to surrender and put their priorities in order. Then maybe they can be lined up according to God's will and God's purpose. You know, you can look at that and, you know, you take the example of the Dallas Cowboys and losing and being in the losing streak they are. That's the same thing happening in our lives sometimes. We feel like everything we try to do, we losing at it. Or in the relationship we get in, we losing at it. In the job we get on, we lose at it. We can't get no promotion. We can't get none of that. But until you surrender to God, until you acknowledge who God is, until you go to live in the life that God wants you to live, you're going to continue to lose those circumstances and situations in your life. God blesses obedience. That's it.
Yes.
The consequences of sin is this death.
Mm-hmm.
And you will not live prosperously in your sinful living. They're going around telling people you're a Christian. You're betrayed. You're a backstabber. You're a hypocrite. Going around saying I'm a Christian, but you walk around living and acting one immature kind of way. That's not pleasing in God's sight. Well, if you are there, how come you're not being blessed?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not living according to God's will and God's purpose. But once you learn how to surrender to God and be obedient to His will and follow His leadership and follow His guidance and seek Him first and seek His guidance and His direction, then God can bless you according to His will and according to His purpose. And you learn that your desires that you thought you wanted, the things you thought you wanted, the places you thought you wanted to go, ain't no longer those desires for you. All your desires is where God wants you to go. He changes your perspectives. He changes your desires. He changes your way of thinking. He changes your way of life. But we have to learn how to surrender ourselves to God, be obedient to His word. And we got to resist the flesh. We got to deny ourselves. And that's our biggest problem. We have the biggest struggle in the battle of denying self. But when we learn how to deny ourselves and resist the devil, then God will bless us according to His will and His purpose.
That's right. Right. Wow.
That is so true.
Yes,
all goes back to submission.
No excuses. Yeah.
Come on.
Yes. No, we have no excuses. We have to own up. That's what salvation is, confessing up. Yes, Lord, I'm a liar. Yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. Yes, Lord, I'm a thief. Yes, Lord, I'm a robber. Yes, Lord, I'm conniving. Yes, Lord, I do things that's not according to your will and purpose, dear God. Yes, Lord, and once we own up to those situations and things in our lives and say, now, Lord, you know all about me. I can't change them, but I'm totally trusting in you to change me, develop me, and make me. Lord, you know my weaknesses. You know my desire. Lord, I desire to lie. I desire to go places I ain't got no boy. Lord, I need you to remove the desire. And God will come in and He will do. But we got to learn how to first confess up and own up to what God has called us to do.
Yeah.
I have another question about excuses.
Okay.
Now, when we make excuses, do we do it to justify what we want to do anyway?
I think we make excuses for two reasons. Yes, number one, to justify our ways and the things that we want to do. Number two, because number two, I think we make the excuses sometimes because we're in denial. We don't want to go in that direction. We don't want to pursue what God is pushing us and driving us to do. You see, I made excuses because of answering my calling because, number one, I felt like I wasn't good enough. Number two, I didn't think I could be good at it. Number three, I just, you know, was avoiding the point of the fact that, well, Lord, not me. Why me out of any and all the people, other people in this world?
That's right.
So we use those excuses in two frames, and those are the two ways. We have to be very careful when we go to making excuses for what God has called us to do and to cover up our sins or to do what we want to do.
Now, for those who's making excuses, and we know they're making excuses, do we call them on it? Do we help them out, or do we let them sink?
No. We should not call them out, so to speak, but we should go to our brother. This is where we make our mistake. We should go to our brother in love.
Go to our brother in support.
Brother, you know what? I done been there and I done that. You know what, brother? I was where you are. And let me tell you what that get me out of there. Not going there pointing a finger saying you wrong, you this, you that, you that. You've got to go to that person in love and let that person understand and know, you know what, I was a hypocrite too. Or I was a thief too. Or I was a robber too. Or I was a manipulator too. But God delivered me through this circumstance and through this situation by using this scripture. That's one thing we got to be so ever careful to realize. People come to people all the time and say, well, God told me to tell you such and such and such and such. But if God ain't told you to tell that person what such and such, such and you can't back it up with the word of God, you better go back and tell them that God needs to talk to you again and don't come back talking to me.
That's right.
We have to be so ever careful that whatever God come to you and tell you to tell somebody that you got some word for God to tell you to give that person with some word. I tell people all the time, I listen to whatever anybody got to say. Because, yes, God gives me confirmation through people that don't know anything about my life. He'll give me confirmation of what I've already been praying on. And 9 times out of 10, they ain't going to come to me and tell me God told me to tell you such and such. They're going to come to me and say, brother, I got an encouraging word for you. Blah, 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 blah. And the word of God said, blah, 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 blah. And they don't know why I haven't already been praying. And that wasn't nothing but my confirmation. That's the way God speaks through people to other people. Not that God told you to tell me such and such and such. He's going to speak a word to that person. That word going to speak that word to you.
Right.
And that's what we have to be careful. When we go to correct our brother, we go to, and from, we need to be able to go there to them with them with a word. You cannot correct a person by beating them down or they're not going to receive it. You got to go to them in love. Yes, we should correct our brother when they're making excuses. But we can't beat them over the head with it. We got to do it in love to where they can receive what God. Because you guess what? If God shows you them making excuses, and God shares with you and tell you to go to that person, and you go to that person with the wrong attitude, you're accountable for that person's sin. Now that's a whole totally deep subject there. That's a family discussion now. You see, because we as ministers counseling our people, we have to be careful of that. We have to be very careful of how we counsel people, because if we turn them away and they're going seriously and doing what they're doing, and you had the opportunity to share love with them and to give it to them out of love that they will receive it, but you made them reject it by the way you gave it to them, God's going to hold you accountable for their sins.
That's right.
Men don't realize the responsibility God has put on him from the beginning of time. Man
is
accountable.
I'm going to let you know you was on it tonight. I know you hit a lot of pointers, a lot of factors, and I just thank God that you came on and just let loose and let God use you, because I know people are listening. I know they want to hear a word, and I just want to thank you. And right now we're about to play a beautiful song that I know our sister has selected, and we want y'all to just meditate and listen and accept the song in your heart.
Okay.
Love you.
I love you too, darling. Father.
Thank you for calling
okay.
in.
Bye-bye.
You know, back in the day when we used to have testimony service, my mama would stand up on her feet and she'd throw her head back and sing songs like this. She said, how I got over, how I got over my soul.
I'm
my people around me. My 21-year-old nephew, Tim Bowman Jr., he's gonna show us how to sing it in the 21st century. Jimmy, how would you say it?
I said, God, baby, you got power, made it over. God, baby, you got power, made it over. God, baby, you got power, made it over.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. You're here with Pastor Hall.
Praise the Lord. My name is Minister Solomon Buckley from Kansas City, and I just had a quick testimony.
Okay.
I had a quick testimony.
Okay.
Go ahead.
My testimony is today I walked into my church that I do ministry at, and I walked in the doors and not knowing that God has something for me to receive. A lot of times you're ministering. The Lord uses me a lot in the prophetic. So a lot of times I'm prophesying over people and just seeing for them, you know, seeing what God has for them. But today there was a surprise for me. And I was asked to come down to give some remarks. And all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord just hit me. And he said, I want you to have the people of God lay hands on you and pray over you. And I said, Lord, is this of you, you know? And he said, I want you to pick out a particular person in the audience and have them pray for you. And it turned out the person that the Lord told me to pick out had a word of the Lord for me.
Jesus.
Wow.
In season. And the person gave a word, a message in tongue. And the Lord gave me the interpretation of the tongue, not knowing. And the person said, now the tongue, I'm giving it to you so you can interpret it. And pretty much they ended up pouring into me what I needed for this next week, for this next season that I'm going into. And so I say that to say this. We don't know in this new season which person God is going to use to bring life into you. So it's basically we need to prepare ourselves to receive from the Lord's messengers that he has for us in this hour. Because truly
Amen.
He is pouring out his spirit, and we need to have our ears and our eyes open so we will know who God wants to speak through. He may want to speak through a little child. He may want to speak through a young adult. He may want to speak through one of the senior saints, but we need to have our eyes and ears open and attuned to the Spirit of God so that he can speak and use whoever he wants to for his purposes. And in a lot of our churches, we have shut the lay people down and said only the clergy can minister. And that's not true.
Amen. I agree with that. That is so true.
But that was it. The Lord bless you guys, and I enjoyed being on a program with you guys and just listening in.
I have a question for you, if you don't mind, before
yes,
you
ma'am.
Before you go. What do you think about, I know how God, you said God's gifted you in the prophetic, and I
uh-huh.
understand that it's like we always have a word for everybody,
uh-huh.
but it gets a time in our life where we need a word for ourselves.
Right.
Because God will show us clearly somebody else.
Right.
And sometimes we're so involved in our own situation, we can't see clearly.
Right.
Now, what do you say to those who God is using and they have the excuses not to do what God tells them to do? Like, say if God tells me to go speak to someone, but I have an excuse saying, maybe saying I'm not doing something right, so how can God be using me? Well, we know God will use anybody in or out of season. Do you
right.
tell them to think about their situation or just to do what God told them to do and delete the excuses?
Being obedient of God, one thing I've learned by being in the prophetic and being in the prophetic and in different shoes where I've done strategic prayer journeys and different things like that, one thing I've learned is to be obedient with God, be obedient to God. And I've seen cases where I have been disobedient with God when he has told me something. And there's mm-hmm. been things have happened and they've been fatal because of it. If you understand what I'm saying.
So basically, in spite of what we might be going through in our personal lives, when God tells us to speak, we speak.
We speak because we're his mouthpieces on the earth
mm-hmm.
to release reformation. Because one thing
Amen.
That people don't understand about the office of the prophet releases things, releases people in their membership giftings, releases people not only in their membership giftings, but releases life into their life. So the prophetic ministry is supposed to release life into the body of Christ.
Amen. I was listening when you said how God just don't use people that's in leadership. He uses the whole church.
He
and
does.
For those who are being smothered and made to sit down, because, come on, let's be real, sometimes people are made to sit down because they're not in the who's of who's.
Right,
so,
because they're not in the clique.
But they got a gift.
I
what
went
do you
through
tell
that.
Them? See,
I went
too.
Through that, and I was in a charismatic Pentecostal kind of church, and I was set down, you know, because I was going to a congregation where it was predominantly white. And I was set.
Mm-hmm.
I was not able to use my gift because of my race.
Okay.
They didn't have blacks flowing in their church.
Wow.
You know, it was predominantly white. So I went through a season like that. And the Lord said, when I release you, you're going to be released and you're going to go somewhere else. And I left in good fellowship. I left my last church in good relationship with my pastor.
Right.
I
Amen.
Left, but a lot of people leave prematurely or leave and not go through the season or the testing that they need to go through. But one of the things I would say to those that are in ministry is that if you do have a prophetic gift or you're called to the office of the apostle or the prophet or the pastor, teacher, evangelist, you need covering. You need proper covering.
Mm-hmm.
And you need people that can relate to you and that will love you. Not people that's going to beat you up, and you don't need pimps.
Come on.
Pimps.
Come
because
on.
There's a lot of pimps and pimps in the pulpit. And
yes,
we don't
baby,
need that.
I call
we
them
need.
Pimps and hustlers.
Right. We need spiritual moms and dads that are not going to abuse
yes.
the people of God. My spiritual mother is 2 hours away from me, and I go see her every 3 months and sit under her ministry. But she's not money hungry. When you find your
mm-hmm.
true spiritual mother or spiritual father, they're not money hungry.
Right.
They're hungry for the people of God to come into their destiny and to be trained, taught, and nurtured. It's not somebody that is title gimme tripping.
Right.
You know, so
that is so true. You made a statement about covering.
Uh-huh.
And I want to just basically make a statement. You know, I remember I became into pastorship. Everybody named Mama wanted to be my covering.
Right.
Everybody named Mama had a dollar sign.
Right.
So, and I began to step back, and God said, I'm your covering.
Right.
He
right.
said, I'm going to cover you. And I sat back, and people were attacking me left and right. Oh, you're supposed to have this. I said, God said he got me. God said if he took me through this, he'll take me through
he'll
that.
Take
and
you
I waited
through, that. Right.
Through a long season. And then I end up having someone who was willing to cover me, no charge, just
right.
because they loved me, just because they wanted to help me. See, I do understand why people, you know, who people are in full-time ministry, it depends what you're doing. But if
right.
you're not really helping the ministry, because it's a lot of people who are have all these excuses of why they need to get paid, but yet ain't holding up to their title either.
For
that's
real.
That's a whole nother story.
And you got to
right.
hold your own.
Right.
Yeah,
you know.
You do.
Now, for the people who don't know what covering is, would you two mind explaining that to them?
For me, what covering has been for me, you know, I'm aligned with Apostle Regina Shank out of Carthage, Missouri, with the Missouri Prayer Network, Apostolic Network. And what covering has meant for me is just a loving relationship with a spiritual mom that is willing to sit down with me and to train me and help me in areas of ministry. Like my spiritual mother, she comes to my region and ministers in my region. I've ministered with her in her region. You know, it's a relational leadership, relational training and development and leadership. So there's leadership opportunities, different things like that. But different coverings, different networks, there are networks and stuff out there, and they have different rules and regulations as far as how they operate. Now, I'm a part of three different networks. I'm a member. My ministry is covered under Apostle Chuck Pierce and Glory of Zion International out of Denton, and they have different. Every network has their own requirements and their own focus. And I'm also part of the Foursquare Church out of California. And so they all have their different requirements as far as covering is concerned. Some organizations ask for money, some don't, some it's just, but it should be true apostolic relationship as far as from the biblical standpoint was out of relationship. And without a training and development. Does that basically understand? Basically, because Paul in the Bible, he trained his spiritual sons and daughters.
Okay.
It wasn't a thing like today where you pay $5,000 and you're in my elite club. I don't believe in that.
Okay. Now, I have one more question for you. What advice would you give to some of the younger generation that don't really go to church? What advice would you give them to get them to go to church and, you know, just to have a better relationship with God?
Well, one of the things that I'm 27, so I have grown up in the church for a very long time, grew up in the church, you know. One of the things I would say to younger people is I would encourage them to get to a church where they're loved and where they'll be trained and developed for God's purposes. But also, you know, before you even get to the church, you know, start getting some worship music, you know, and listening to some worship music. Start getting a prayer life. Start getting a life, you know, a prayer, you know. And also ask the Lord to show you what church that he wants you to go to. Because every church is not for you.
That's right.
You know, and so that's would be one of the things. I went through a crisis in my early, in the beginnings when I first turned 20, where I was like, Lord, where do you want me to be? Because I grew up in this church, and this church didn't want the new sound. They didn't want prophets prophesying. They didn't want this and this and this. And they wanted us to be bogged into a box. And through that phase, you know, of prayer and fasting, God showed me where I was supposed to be and really getting before God and getting a relationship with him and really asking him to show you what you're supposed to do and then he'll show you where you're supposed to go and to be ministered to and also to minister out of that. But I believe that this generation is a generation, they don't want to sit in the pews. They want to move. They want to be movers and shakers in the kingdom of God. And I believe that God is changing the expression of the way that church is looking. And so we're going to be a church that's going to not only be trained, but we're going to be released to the four corners of the earth, to the nations, through relational evangelism and supernatural ministry.
Okay.
So that the young people are looking for the supernatural. You know, they're not looking for, you know, sing three hymns and be done. They really want to experience the presence and the power of God, but also be sent and released. Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Man of God, I pray that you you know, we're going to be on every Sunday, same time.
Uh-huh.
Really enjoyed everything you said, and I pray that you be one that call continuously and always give your insight on the subjects that are released each Sunday. So I just want to tell you thank you, and we appreciate you.
Oh, thank you also for allowing me to share.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Amen.
Okay, bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you too.
All right, we have another caller we're going to go through, Pastor Hall.
Yes.
Welcome to GQ Power Spiritual Sunday. Paula, are you there?
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. My name is Melissa Kedge, and I actually found Pastor Hall's Facebook page, and I know it was God that connected me with her because mostly you guys are talking about I'm dealing with or have been going through. And one of the things I looked at her page was no excuses. And I know when you're living and you're doing a work for God, you shouldn't have any excuses. But I wanted to, I listened at the last gentleman speak, but I wanted to ask you guys two questions if I could. And one of them would be, can you have a spiritual covering without being part of a particular ministry? And whether it's yes or no. And my second part of that question is, why is it that now, when women go forth in churches, because I just left a ministry and it's still new to me, and I was part of the ministry and I was actually to be part of the ministry. But then later on when I was in the ministry, the pastor himself started to say he didn't allow women to have authority in his church. So I really didn't give an excuse. I did what he asked most women in the church that I noticed were doing, was sitting quiet. No matter whether the prophetic, God was using me to speak to somebody or not. But the only time he really wanted me to go forth is maybe when he came by to visit, or he would ask me to pray and fast on something, and then he would ask me to give him a word at home, but he never wanted to hear a word at the church. And I'm just, you know, right now I'm just kind of confused, and I just wanted to see what you actually thought about that. And do women have a role as being pastors? Because I happened to see Pastor Hall page, and I saw pastor. And then it was just like the Lord shook me and said, befriend her, because she's going to teach you that God uses women as well as men.
Right.
Amen. First, I want to answer your first question, and that's, yes, you can have a covering. A lot of people go to different churches and they have no relationship with the pastor. One thing I love about T.D. Jakes, he said, if you are a babe on milk, you don't belong here. See, a lot of people miss that sermon. So if you attend somewhere and you don't have a relationship with the pastor and you don't have a relationship with the ministry, well, then if you die, who's going to preach your funeral? If you're sick, who's going to come pray for you? If you need help, who's going to – you just existing. So, therefore, I believe to always have – if you belong to that type of atmosphere, to always have a spiritual covering. Me personally, I have somebody that I can call. Even when I belong to a good church and had an awesome pastor. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he was a male pastor. But everything you can't speak to a male about, and if it's a female pastor, everything you can't speak to a woman about. Now, now we're supposed to talk about pastors and women being pastors and stuff like that. I've been told one reason why women can't sit in a pulpit is because she has her monthly ministration. And yes. What if she preaching and she got to go to the bathroom? And if she got a skirt on and this and that, I said, well, you tell me the difference when a man is sit up there with his legs gapped open. See, I go raw. Mm-hmm. I go point for point. I don't play when it comes to anything. Now, if you know anything about Church of God in Christ, not now, but I'm talking about like almost 18 years ago, there was no mm-hmm. women. So that's yeah. where I came from. And for years, I was one of them. You a woman speaking? My ears just went mute. I wasn't hearing it. I wasn't believing it. You was disgraced to God. You going to hell. I mean, I was all that.
Yeah.
But when God separated me and moved me, I still tried to go to a same type of church. And God said, no, you're going to go up to that third floor, ask this woman what church you go to, and you're going to attend there. And that's where I went, and it was a Baptist church. And Baptists really don't believe in women either. But uh-huh. I went to this particular Baptist church. Let me tell you something. This preacher molded me. It took years because, you know, I had been in this thing for a long time, would not listen. And he had women preachers, and I would lead a church, and I was like, God, that ain't the church for me because women speak it in. But yeah. God said, but that's what your blessing is. One thing I'm going to tell you, baby, everybody, my whole lineup was Church of God in Christ. My whole lineup. So when I went against the grain, as far as they was concerned, not one person kicked against the prick. Do you hear me? Because I was still going preaching, because first I was evangelist, and they knew I was a minister, and they knew all this, and they still accepted me. Because one thing about it, when God has gifted you and people have seen the gift, forget about the title. Work the ministry that God is giving you. It's because of the yeah. ministry, man can't reject you. There's many yeah. times I have went to right. many places, and it's this man here. I don't even want to say his name, but it's mm-hmm. this man here, and he has a large church. Do you hear? He has two services. He is one of the top-known Baptist preachers here. And he came to our church and preached, and he told me on the phone, he said, well, I'm going to tell you now, the women in my congregation is silent. And I got to talking to him and telling him my testimony, because it gets to a point of time when you don't care who say what and what it is, what it is. And sometimes you got to have that mentality and that attitude. And when I told him and I sent him the newspaper clipping that the Austin Statement had did on me, and I told my testimony, when it was all said and done, this Baptist preacher who all the women in his church is silent, he said, woman of God has called you to the ministry, and you don't let nobody else tell you that. Now, am I saying he going to let the women do anything in his church? No.
No.
But what I am saying, you stand for God. People going to kick against you. People going to have some sorry reasons why women are not supposed to work. But if you go back and do your homework, you will see it was women who started the church to begin with. And yeah. they begin to place men in the roles to get the men active. Because a lot of men wouldn't even be active unless they was in charge.
Yes.
Now, I'm just going back way deep in my history that I learned. But never, ever, ever get caught up in what other people are doing. Because I have two women, oh, my God, I have two women, strong women in my life.
Yes.
One of them is Bishop Bailey. And another one is Dr. Hope. And they are two strong women that when I'm going through something, I think about these women because these women are like pillars in my life. No, yeah. I don't call them every day. No, I probably don't tell them as much, but they pillars. You better find some pillars because it's going to come a time where you're going to have to lean on your pillar. But
yeah.
you do what God tells you to do. So, yeah. You keep doing it. People going to say what they're going to say, but you stand. You stand. You're going to be held responsible. When you go see God in Judgment Day, what you going to say? What he said, and then God said, well, you're going to go with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you do what God has for you to do.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank y'all so much.
You're welcome.
Bless you.
All right, Pastor Hall, we're going to go to another caller.
Okay.
Welcome to CC Palace Spiritual Sunday.
Yes, hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm blessed. This is Dr. Deborah Hopes.
Oh, I just heard that.
And I'm just calling in to with you, young woman, and just to tell you to be steadfast to the vocation which God has placed you. There's no reason for you to fear, because we know you have a covering. The blood of Jesus still works. And I just want to just tell you tonight I'm lifting you up and carrying you all. And if there's anything that I can ever do, and Pastor Tricia knows this, that I'm here. But it's a battle. It never stops. But we can take it not strange. And because God promised us when he sent us, he was going to send us as lambs among wolves, sheep among wolves. So you have to be girded in the word. We've got to learn to walk in that. And I'm not here to do any more than just say, I love you, young women, and that I'm here. And if it's anything that I can do to be an encourager or a supporter, just give me a call or Facebook me or text me, and I'm here standing with you.
Mom, don't hang up. Mom, don't hang up. Do not hang up. This is one of the women I was telling you about in Dallas.
Right.
This is the lady I was talking about in Dallas. So I'm glad you called in, because this is one of the ones that I want to come on as a special guest. I mean, this is a woman. I went to her church, I think, once or twice. And I never told her this, but I'm supposed to tell her now. And it's right on time with no excuses.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to have been at her church at a certain time, but I was given the wrong directions. And she bluntly said, you still should have known where you was going before and not depended upon somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that hit me. And it hurt me. And I was like, you know what, Mama, show right. It'll never happen again. No excuses. Just no excuses.
Right.
And that's where I learned that from. No excuses. There is none. You know what you're supposed to do. Do it. And just in that little small gap. And I was like, Mama, show is right. I should have Googled it or something. But, Mama, I love you. I miss you. And I've been talking about you like crazy. And, yes, I'm going to get with you, because next month we're going to start having special guests, and I definitely want you to be one of the first ones. I want to see what your schedule is like. But, Mama, what else can you share with us? Because you have so much wisdom and so much knowledge, and young women like me and older women that's new to the ministry, sometimes we have so many things that we kick against dealing with the opposite sex of the position that we're in, and we just want to serve God. And so many women, like the woman that was on a call on the other line, you know, she was asked to come in, but now that's established, she's asked to really not do anything.
Yes, yes. Well,
so what would you like to share with us?
I didn't come to do any talking tonight. I came to listen, but one of the things that my spirit was that stay feminine. You're a female, stay feminine. What I've seen a lot of times is that a lot of women lose that feminine touch. Put your pretty earrings on, put your pretty lipstick on, wear your pretty clergy shirts with some pretty stuff on. Stay feminine.
Mm-hmm.
Stay the lady that you are. God called us to be messengers, but he didn't call us to be manly. And I needed to say that. Dropped in my spirit. The other thing is, stop letting people make you question who you are in him. Cut it out.
Yes.
He qualifies you. When he calls you, he will make you the quality of person that you're supposed to be. Get in your Bible, study. Get your concordance. Go get some books about Bible history. Study so you can know. People going to battle you, but you got to be smart. It's just like African-American women and people, when I started off being in education, I had to be better.
Mm-hmm.
Iron sharpens iron. Hang out with some folks that know some words. They're speaking the word. Get away. You know, any man be in Christ, and this woman be in Christ, is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things. Stop hanging around Jack and Jim. They ain't trying to take you nowhere. In fact, they ain't on you, and I'll hold you back.
My God.
And just like Pastor Patricia had to go to another church, you know, God said the world is a pulpit. You ain't got to be with no church. You get you some cover and start doing what he tell you to do. It's ministry on the
Come
street.
On.
Mm. No, it's ministry in the hospital. We so busy trying to worry about being a pastor and standing behind a pulpit. And you, if you think about it, if you think about it, the woman that came to the tomb was an evangelist, but she was the one that God, people had said she wasn't any good. And then when she went back, she took the good news, not to a church, but to the people on the street, to the disciples. We got to remember, y'all, and stop trying to pick and choose and get so hung up on the title.
Yeah.
Mm. Once you know, this is for sure, if when God, you can run, people can tell you that you're not, but when it's in you, if you don't open your mouth, it's going to ooze out of you. Your leg going to move. Your hand going to move. Your head going to move. And then the next thing you know, you just going with it. Be who you are for God. Be everything. You got one book page in the book of life. One page. And that's yours. And I believe we all want to be well done. I believe we all do. So just hold up the bloodstream down. Keep on running for the Lord. Don't let nothing, because offense will come. They're going to challenge you. They're supposed to. Why? Because it's not about who you are, but whose you are.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I didn't come on to say nothing, but I that's what the Lord popped in my spirit. I hope you got something
Mama,
to believe and think on it.
Ooh, Jesus.
So much wisdom.
I know this woman is, she done so, I mean, it was like a short period, but quick I remember when I first met her, there was something lacking within myself, you know, because I was dealing with the situation of the being a pastor and where I come from and, you know, having to let some people go because of what the conflict was of me being a pastor. And this woman filled me. Not that she tried, but she was just being who she was. And that was just simply it right here. And it encouraged me. That's why I knew she, you know, I can't wait to get her on because she has so much encouragement to give. Because if she was close to me, it'd be my home away from home. That's just how much encouragement she gives. And, Mama, I know you probably came over here just to listen, but you just have so much to give to us. You know, I was always taught when you find somebody who can feed you, you better sit there and eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been there. I will sit there and eat a full course meal and always be ready to eat from wisdom, because we don't get that nowadays. It's few people who's really teaching how you teach and loving. Because, see, this woman of God, she'll correct you with love and keep it moving. Some people want to pat you on the head and be scared to tell you what you're doing wrong and you're messing up and fumbling. That's what I love about her. She's just going to tell you how it is, and it's all in love. And that's what we're missing nowadays. This is what the young generation is seeking after, is the love and the realness. And I just love you, Mama. I just love you so much.
Love you, and I'm proud of you, ladies. And I want to be muted now.
Well, thank you for calling in, though.
I thank God for you.
Okay.
Bless you, Mother.
Love you back, baby. Talk with you later in the week.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, dear.
All right.
Bye-bye. Oh, that is such an awesome woman. I love her. I miss her so much. I do. She gives so much wisdom and to young women, and even, you know, even men, she gives wisdom to. It's not just women. It's across the board. And when you get somebody, a lady of valor, I mean, just a woman of wisdom and knowledge, the way she carry herself, I mean, just the way, that's the way we should be. And she's talking about women being in position. Keep yourself feminine. I know I keep myself feminine. I ain't going to change to nobody. I changed my hairstyle too much, my nails too long, I'm too glitz and glittery, but I am who I am. And I just always been, if I did it for the devil, I'm sure going to outdo it for God. And that's
right.
just always, you know, been me. You know, I don't change for people because when you begin to change, then you make excuses for why you need to keep changing.
Right.
I remember
right.
I was in a marriage for so long, girl, I didn't even know what I liked to eat no more once I got a divorce because I kept making excuses of why I needed to change, and I was no longer me. I was somebody else.
But that's what happened.
But
you change so much.
Uh-huh.
You change so much that you lose sight of who you are individually, you know, and, you know, pleasing someone else. And it was a blessing just hearing her. And, you know, you can, and you just spoke about her to the last caller. And I'm listening when she said her name. I said, didn't she just say her name, you know? And nobody's, you know, and I'm sitting talking to myself, like, didn't she just say that? And you just, you talked her up. You definitely talked her up. What we're going to do is we're going to go to another one of us with a song. But before we go to a song,
Amen.
We do have the lines lit up. So I just want to say the number to call is 646-200-3838. And press 1 to go on the air to speak to myself and Pastor Hall. Or you could just listen and listen to testimonies and what they're thankful for, as well as everyone calling in to discuss the topic of no excuses, which is a generalization of no excuses all around the board. We're going to go to a song real quick.
Want to hear some of your favorite gospel artists sing live on the spot? Then visit.
It was actually Kim Burrell, but she's singing Walter Hawkins' song, Be Grateful. Pastor Hall, you there?
Yes, I am. Yes, okay. I am.
Look, I had to check
it's
on
so
you for amazing. A minute. I had to check on you for a minute there. Definitely had to check on you. I actually picked that song because I think a lot of people nowadays, they're so, you know, just wrapped up in what everyone else has, you know, and not just being grateful what they have and what God has blessed them to have so far.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured that song
is so,
good song just to, you know, just to put it out there and remind people. It's not a, you know, it's not a new song. The song has been around, you know, but I think that sometimes you have to remind people, you know, that you should always be grateful. Just be grateful, be thankful. You know, but we have another caller that we're going to go to.
Amen.
All right, hold on. Welcome to GQ Power Spiritual Sunday.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm okay, I'm hanging in there. I would just like to, you know, thank God for, you know, waking me up this morning, my family and my friends. And Pastor, are you there?
Yes, sir.
I would appreciate it if you just say a prayer for my uncle. He's in the hospital with a kidney infection, and my other uncle got bad cancer where he can't even get up and walk. You know, and it's hard, you know. And I'm trying to do what I can for my uncle that's, you know, he's actually here with me, so, you know, I try to do what I can for him. And I know it's hard for him, and it's bad to see him like that, you know. So I was wondering, is there like a prayer you could say for us, you know?
Yes, sir. Father God, I ask you to come and touch his body. Lord, we know that your will is not always the will that we will for. And we just want to ask to give comfort to this family, give comfort to the ones that are keeping him. But Lord, above all, keep us in sight of our anguish, that we don't rely on the one that is sick. We want to be able to give life to the one who is going through in spite of all circumstances. We want to give the caregiver strength to keep enduring above all. Lord, I don't know the complete situation. I don't know what's going on, but I know you're a God of all answers. Sometimes your answers are not our answers, but they're answers. And, Lord, we want to have you give us peace over the surrounding situation that is at hand. Father God, I thank you, and I know that it is done in your son Jesus' name. I have a question. Does he live with you?
Yes, one of my uncles.
Both of them?
No, the other one don't live with me. The one that
has the cancer lives with you?
Yes.
Okay. Only thing I can share with you, just from personal experience, which a lot of people don't know this, is because I just started really telling people a couple months ago. They thought I had cancer, and I went through a lot. But one thing I can share is I know that a lot of times we are not that we're burdened down, but we have a lot on us when we're taking care of somebody, and we be hurt, we'll be crying, but you cannot relay that on the person that is sick.
because it won't help them. I don't, you know, it doesn't help them, because I know when I was going through and, you know, I had to, some of the people that was closest to me, I had to even stop talking to because they couldn't talk to me without crying. But whatever is going through, only thing that you can do is give life to the situation as best as you can and do all that you can, because you still can't be that person's everything. We can never be that person's everything, so don't wear that burden on your shoulders so much, because I know we do that when we love people anyways, but you cannot put all that on you. You can only do so much. You can only do so much because you have to have a lifeline for yourself too, or you'll sink with it.
And you know, my mother-in-law has cancer. She's a church-going woman, and you know, it bothers me, you know, to see her like that also. So you know, I just need the prayers. You know, I just really need the prayers. You know, and a lot of
have
people
you been
say,
to any support groups?
Huh?
Have you been to any support groups, the cancer support groups for?
No, I heard they got some going on, so I'm going to attend them.
Good. Those
attend.
Are great to go to, you know, because we can have our spiritual life and our spiritual man can be intact, but we still need to go to certain things, especially when it's dealing with sickness, because it enlightens us. It shows us what's going to happen next as far as some sicknesses go. But going to these outreach ministries that's trying to equip the family are awesome.
Can I ask you a question? A lot of people say God only give you what you can handle. So when he takes the ones we love from us, how does he expect us to handle that?
Okay. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at myself. Because, you know, we all go through tests and trials. Me personally, when my father died, I turned my back on God. Is that the best choice? Of course not. But he does not give us more than we can bear. We put such a great burden on ourselves that we cannot bear.
Right.
And when we don't surrender it all to God, because, see, we get selfish. We know we're going to die. We know that. But when it comes, and the person who passes so close to us, we're selfish. And, you know, that's not a bad or a good thing, but we're so selfish that it overwhelms us. But they were only here on a temporary assignment, and we knew that.
Right.
But somehow, in our fleshly way, we forget that we're only here temporarily. We always sing a song. We going home up yonder. We doing this. But when that person go home up yonder, we wondering why they still not here. And we have to let go. It's us who put too much on ourselves, and it's not God. Did that kind of clear it up for you?
Yes, and I would just love for you to just keep, you know, my uncles and my mother-in-law in your prayers, you know.
Most definitely. You know, it was so funny you asked me to pray, because I always say, what am I, you know, I can pray by myself. But it's like when you're, it's like everybody have a weakness and we're talking about no excuses. When you asked me to pray, I was like, I'm going to pray. But one of the things I've always used as an excuse, I'm like, ooh, no, how that brother, sister pray? They can pray the house down. But God will always put you in a position where you have an excuse at. And so it was, you know, it was enlightening when you actually pray, because we can always pray for others. We can always do something for others. But what I'm telling you, make sure you're doing something for you, because if you don't, you will overburden yourself. You have to have an outage. You have to, because if you don't, you will have nothing for yourself because you didn't give it all away. That's just like driving a car, and you drive it till it's empty. Eventually, it's going to quit and shut down. If you drive a car with no oil, eventually that engine going to lock up.
Right.
In the same way will happen to you spiritually. You need something just for you.
even in the midst of people, things going on, we can pray and we can help. You still have something for you, because if your engine, your mind lock up, who's going to take care of you? Because now you can't even take care of them. But life will still keep going. So we're going to be praying for your family. We're going to be praying for your family.
Thank you so much.
But I'm also praying for you.
All right.
I want you to know that.
Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
Thank you for calling in, sir.
Okay.
And it's amazing how he asks you to, you know, say a prayer, because I've been doing the Spiritual Sundays for a while, and there's always been something that's been on my mind, you know, and I've been trying to get my mom to call in and call in and call in, and, you know, she always says, I'm not ready, I'm not ready, I'm not ready, you know. And she said, well, you give my testimony. And I said to her, it doesn't mean the same, you know, when I give a testimony for you. I need you to give your own testimony, you know. And with her, she's going through breast cancer. She was diagnosed in April, and she just finished her last chemo, you know, last Thursday with the grace of God. But the chemo just took a toll, you know, on her body, where everything has turned colors, everything is swollen, you know, her feet is swollen, and she still finds the energy, you know, to go to church. And, I mean, if there's a meeting, she's there, because she's president of the usher board, and he's always there, you know, constantly. And I said to her, you know, when are you just going to relax, just a minute, you know? And this is someone that, you know, has worked two jobs for over 30 years. You know, and her first time being sick like this and being out of work, it was so hard to even get people to help. So, you know, you had mentioned the support groups, and I attended one of them. And I'm going to tell you, I felt like maybe I didn't go into it with an open mind, you know, because I walked into it and I was like, you know what, okay, let's see if they can help me just deal with, and I'm being honest, you know, let me see if they, you know, if it could help me, you know, deal with my mom, you know, a little better. And, you know, at the same time, I just felt like, okay, I'm sitting here and these people aren't telling me something that I don't already know, you know. Only thing that they can't tell me is my mom is stubborn. And when it comes time to, you know, mama sit down, your feet is swollen, you can't walk, mama wants to put on bedroom shoes and try and walk around. So until, you know, the swelling got extremely bad. So I was listening, you know, to the last caller, and I said, you know what, it's on my mind, you know, it's in my heart. So a couple Sundays ago, I had played a song that she has on her caller tune, and every time I call her, this song comes up. When I'm at the house, she's playing this song. And
it's so
ironic, because my grandmother, my mom's mom, died of breast cancer as well. And it was actually the same breast that my mom had cancer in as well. So it was something that kind of like took a toll, you know, on me, and I'm the baby. So, of course, everyone's looking like, oh, she's going to break down, she's going to break down. And I can say until now, I haven't broke down yet, you know. I tried a couple times, you know, but I didn't exactly break down the way I feel is in my heart to break down, because I have to be strong. And you say, you know, take time for yourself and, you know, do something for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's extremely hard, because when you see someone that needs you, you know, so much, and they gave you life and they raised you and they, you know, taught me to be the strong woman that I am today, I can't just say, you know what, I'm going to take a day for myself, you know, because there's no day, you know, for myself in my eyes when it comes down to being with my mom. And it's such a weird, you know, time for us, because, you know, you think that the family, you know, we come together and, you know, family that prays together stays together. And it's just, it seems like when my mom got diagnosed with the breast cancer, that the family kind of just went like up in an uproar, you know, where me personally, I know nobody couldn't say anything to me, because it was my mom. That's it. I don't want to hear nothing unless it's positive about my mom. You know, they said, okay, she wants to do reconstruction surgery. And I have to say, I was so against it And I said to my fiance, I'm like, listen, babe, I'm against the reconstruction surgery. And, you know, and he spoke to mom, and mom was just like, I'm getting it done. They're going to remove the breast because it's cancerous, you know. And her mind was so made up so quickly. And after, like, sitting and talking to her, now that the chemo was over, I said to her, you still going to have reconstruction surgery? And this is something I prayed on every single day. My God, please just get her to understand that this might not be the best thing, you know, just to take one day at a time. Just finish the chemo first and then decide if you want to do the reconstruction surgery. Don't plan ahead for it, you know, because you don't know what tomorrow promised. And she just said to me the other day, I think I'm going to hold off on this reconstruction surgery.
Look at God.
And I said, oh, my God, God is good. God is good. And I can't even tell you why I was so against it, you know, because I didn't have an answer why. I just knew that I was against it. And the doctors was just sitting, and they were trying to tell me what was going on, and I'm listening to them. And I looked at the one doctor and said, you know what, I hear what you're saying. I understand you got the degrees and everything, but that's my mother. You know, and you only have one of those. And if something happens to my mother, I'm holding all of you accountable for it. So, and the doctor said, you know, Ms. Polite, you have to understand, you know, we do the surgery. I don't care what you do all the time, you know. And
come on, this is my mama.
Exactly. And the stubborn side of me just had to come out and just stand firm. Like, listen, I don't care what you say and who you say it to. This is my mother right here, you know. And we have to think of what's best, you know, for her. And I haven't been able to get her to call in, you know, one Sunday yet. She hasn't called in yet. She listened a couple times, but I've been trying to get her just to press the one button, just to, you know, give her testimony and say what she's thankful for, and just because she has a marvelous testimony. But I told her I'm not telling it for her. I need her to tell it, you know, because this is something that this is hers. You know, this is your testimony. This is your story. And I need you to kind of, you know, share your story with everybody. So, you know, I say all this because as you were talking to the other caller, I just said, you know what? Mom is always listening. She can't, she didn't press the one button. Like, I spoke to her this morning, and she said, you doing a show tonight? I'm like, yeah. She said, you going to call in? Yeah. I might call in this evening, you know. So I said, okay. I said, but anytime you want to, just press that one button, okay?
Just press the one. Mama, just press the one.
You know, and I've been trying to get her, you know, just to tell her story because, you know, I can tell a testimony from me, you know, being young and being naive and not living right and not doing things Christ-like. But for her to be able to tell her story of her testimony, being sick and in and out the hospitals and just being able to tell everyone what she's thankful for, you know, I believe it has more meaning when it comes from the person whose testimony it belongs to. You know, I don't feel
but yours
this,
do, too, because if some child listening on the phone right now going through what you're going through as a daughter.
Right.
So you gave a testimony from a daughter's perspective. Never take light of your part in that, because when somebody is sick or going through, you take part in that, too. And as far as patients that's had cancer, and because I started dealing with it and talking to people, because they thought I had esophagus cancer, and my grandmother died of esophagus cancer, and all her children was told to get checked periodically because it can be hereditary or something, they were saying. So I never took really into the situation because I was a granddaughter. But what I found out was a lot of cancer patients don't want to tell their story because they feel somehow they will go back being sick.
Right. Right. And I, you know what, and I agree. I definitely agree with that because I hear, like, the stories that I'm at work and, you know, some of the older women are telling me, you know, go get tested, go get tested. Just go get an exam. Go get an exam, you know. And I keep telling them, like, you know what, I am 34 years old. And as soon as I said that, the one lady looked at me and she said, I don't care if you were 12. Need an exam.
Ooh.
Don't get your exam done. I don't care how old you are and how grown you think you are. Go and get that exam done because you're doing more harm than good to yourself right now. And my sister, you know, she went. She went, like, you know, I'm going. You know, when she went, and when they told her, you know, you have to have a biopsy done, she cried like a baby. And she called mom, and she's like, I have to have a biopsy done. I have to have a biopsy done. And I just told her, they said a biopsy. They said you had breast cancer. They said biopsy. Like, now you're stressing mama out now, you know. But what we're going to do is we're going to go to a song real fast, and then we'll just come back and talk a little bit more. The number to call in for GQ Power Spiritual Sunday is 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air to give your testimony, say what you're thankful for, or just call in and talk about the topic of no excuses, which is a very, very deep topic, very deep topic. The song we're going to go to is dedicated to my mom. And it's
Amen.
Hold on one second.
Oh, Jesus.
I like that, y'all.
I made it.
lot of folks said that I wouldn't be here tonight, but I made it.
I made it
by the grace of God, yo.
Yes, I made it.
I'm still here.
I'm still here.
Yes, I am. I had to lay awake in the midnight hour sometimes, talking and turn. All night long.
Yes,
have anybody ever had to lay awake all night long sometimes? Wondering what the next day was gonna bring, but God kept it all around you. Yes, He did.
Yes,
you made it through your trials. You're still here tonight. Come on and let me see those hands there tonight.
That is the Williams Brothers, I'm Still Here. That's my mom's favorite song. It's her favorite song. And when I tell you, she plays it and plays it and plays it and plays it. And I don't really think that some people really understand the concept of it. You know, you really got to listen to the words. And just if you can listen to the words will take you far. You know, the words will take you far. And they sing this song in church, and I cry like a baby every single time. Every time.
Girl, you threw it on, I started crying. That was the last part. When my father, passed, that was his song.
Wow.
He had the church choir sing it at the church.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That was his song because it tells a story, like you said. But you just have to listen to the words. You have to listen to the words. No matter, it's like no matter what, you're still here. You
mm-hmm.
made it through it all. But yeah. I was like, wow. You know, God is so awesome. It's been a lot of purging on his line. He's been crying, laughing, talking. He has some great wisdom. It's been a lot of purging. Even me, you know, me personally, it's been a lot of different purging because it made me address issues that even I felt like I was over, like my father or the cancer thing I just went through. It makes you talk about it. It's a purging. And I thank God for what's going on here because it's across the board help to everybody, people that's listening in, people who wants to speak and say something, people who's reaching out for help. And even in us, we're sharing things, and we're supposed to be the host and a co-host, but yet
mm-hmm.
we're real.
Right.
We are right. Yet real.
Right, but you know, when
I love
that. Me too. And when you have something that's, you know, on your heart or that's in your mind, you know, that you have to share, you know, the Spirit is telling you to share it. You know, the tears that are rolling down are tears of joy. You know, and the songs, the meanings for them are so strong, you know. And, you know, we try to, like, pick songs, you know, on a weekly basis that, you know, people can relate to and that helps them, you know, because the show was put together, you know, to bring everyone together nationwide. You know, people who are sick and shut in that can't get out the house, but they have a phone, they have a computer, you know, they're able to listen in and they're able to call in and give their testimony or say what they're thankful for. You know, and, you know, GQ Palace is blessed to have you, you know, as a co-host, you know, because who would have thought that was going to happen, you know?
y'all bless me, I'm telling you, because I had some other opportunities that had came forward before you asked me to come on and after you had me come on, and I knew I would be back on because God had already told me that. I knew that I'd be back on. The whole time he would say no, 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 and then I accept it. And it's been mm-hmm. such a blessing. GQ has been a blessing to me just as well. It goes both ways. God would allow something to form to be a blessing to each other, not just one way. God has always been a two-way street.
That's
He'll allow the one that you think you blessing and you blessing the other person too. So I thank God for you because even us developing our relationship beyond what we're doing.
Right.
That's also within itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank God for that, even though my computer is running slow for some reason. I've been trying to type in computer slow for a while.
So people that's talking to me over the computer, it is slow, and that's why I've not been answering back. You know, just in case the devil trying to put in there no excuses why she ain't typing back.
Right. Look, you can right now. It's moving a little slow.
Yeah, it is. Oh, Lord. And I just thank God for the, I thank God for what y'all came up with Spiritual Sunday, because you're right. It's a lot of people in their bed, too. It's a lot of people are not being heard and want to speak.
Right.
And this allows them a format, because I have people in Africa that was like, I already know the call is expensive, because I called Africa before, and I was like, oh, that ain't never happening again, because y'all said $15 for 1 minute, and I couldn't even really say nothing, and I was like, oh, that is not happening again, so we're going to just computer this down or something. So it is very expensive when people are trying to call from Africa and stuff. So what they told me they were going to do is just go to the site and listen in, because that's all they can do, because it's expensive. So I was like, okay, I like the world around, because people can listen in. No matter what, people can listen in. We have touched on so many subjects of variety. Not one person question wasn't asked. If I didn't know it was somebody, one of the people, one of the speakers, or somebody came on and knew themselves, or you knew, they
right.
got something. They didn't leave empty.
That's right.
They did not leave empty.
And that's a blessing, because even sometimes when, you know, people want to say something, you know, they're not able to, but, you know, here at Geeky Palace, we like to let everyone speak, you know, and it's no one will judge you. Your opinion is your opinion, you know, your testimony is your testimony. That's something that you have that you want to share, you know, and we're just thankful, you know, that people want to call in and say what they're thankful for and give their testimony. You know, because someone else could be going through something similar, you know, and this shows them that they're not alone. You know, that they're not alone. They're definitely not alone. But we did have a wonderful show. We have 5 minutes left.
I see that it went by fast.
It went by too fast. But we have some people listening, so I'm just going to give the number again and just, you know, give them an opportunity to press 1 before the show's over. The number is 646-200-3831-3838, and press 1 to go on the air. We do have 5 minutes left of the show for anyone that does want to get on the air. But I think the show was amazing. I think it was a wonderful show, just like we knew it would be, because I was confident in it. Every Sunday, I'm confident, you know, that God willing, you know, it's going to be a successful show when people call in and their testimony. And, you know, I can't wait for Dr. Deborah Hopes to come on now.
who are you telling? Because I'm all excited and stuff. And I'm like, oh, mama coming. Because, see, I've heard her speak, and I watched her. You know, when somebody can come in your life so powerful, I remember when I was at her church. And I love taking pictures, because I like taking pictures because pictures tell a story, you know.
Yeah.
And so I watched her disposition, and she don't play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, spiritually, not she acting don't play, not mama spank you don't play. When it comes to God, she don't play. And I watched her whole disposition. I watched when she walked through the, she probably don't even know this. I watched her when she walked through the front door, went to our office, came out, and went to the, I mean, it was across, you seen nothing but spirituality the whole time. But
excellent.
Yet a loving person, because she stopped and talked to people, and she in the words of wisdom, especially I'm repeating this, is because I watch women in ministry almost lose their femininity to blend in, to be like a man, to prove their position or something, and
right.
not once, she was always graceful, always
wow.
graceful, beautiful presence. That's why I said you're going to have to come down here. We're going to go there. I'm already going, but you have to come down here and just go with me one time. I'm telling you, I've been telling you about this woman for a while. But
yes, we have.
It's her presence. And
I'm not trying to boast on her, but when you have somebody that magnitude in your life, you just don't let it go.
That's right.
It's like a pit bull who have a good bone.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't let it go.
That's not gonna let go. That's right. Well, it was a wonderful show. We're gonna of course end the show. Is there anything else that you want to share with the listeners this evening?
Whatever you're going through, no matter what it is, I mean, I can't outdo the song that was just played. You're still here. It's still another day's journey. Just keep standing. Whatever you're going through, just don't make an excuse to wallow in. Don't wallow in whatever is going through. You might have a reason. I'm not saying you don't have a reason, but you don't have an excuse to stay.
I don't want to cut you off, but we have a caller, but let me go to it real quick, okay?
Okay, good.
Welcome to GQ Palace Special Sunday.
I would just like to say I would thank y'all because y'all helped my mother, Melissa B. She was real depressed. And I think y'all gave her the inspiration to start back praising the Lord a lot more. So I'd like to thank y'all for that.
Thank you for calling in. Yes, thank you so much.
Through my body.
Mm-hmm. And who would have thought it was just the last caller, too.
Thank you so much for calling. That's what we need. When you call in, it inspires us to know what we're doing is good and is getting through.
Right.
I'm just so thankful. I'm just like in a zone. It went through my body. I don't know if you felt it when she said that, but
mm-hmm.
it just hit me, and I'm just so appreciative that you call because it's callers like you that show that this show is making a difference.
Okay.
And I appreciate you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, Pastor Hall, sorry about that. But I did want to get the last caller in. But it was a wonderful show. And we will be back here at GQ Palace next week, Sunday, starting at 7 o'clock. And we will have a special guest for you. But you will be here with Pastor Hall and myself. And, of course, Pastor Hall will speak, soon. we will speak soon. It's an honor having you on. And we'll see everyone else next week.
Amen. Have a good night.
It's not my battle to fight. I have to know it. if I put it in your head, everything will be alright.
Yeah.
Let go, let God, oh, let go, and let God, let go, and let God, my brother, let go, and let God, my sister, you can't handle it, let God, oh, let go.